good morning and welcome back. We've got a very fun episode ahead. You can throw another wimp on the Barbie because we will be joined by Australian Tough Man, the Wonder from Down Under. We've got Outback Jack joining us on today's show, plus all the updates you need about 80s Wrestling Con 4, ISPW, and everything in between. This is another completely live episode of 80s Wrestling the Podcast. My name is Jumpin' Jay, and as always, I'm joined by the Crocodile Kid, Mr. Tommy Fierro. Tommy, good morning, brother. What is going on?
The Crocodile Kid, huh? I like that, man. I like that. You know what? It's funny that you called me that this morning because all morning long since I've talked to my good friend Outback Jack, who's going to join us in just a minute, and I knew he was going to be on the show this morning, I found myself, Jay, and I'm gonna admit it to everyone, I was in my shower this morning getting ready for work, and I start singing, "Tie Me Kangaroo Down, Sport. Tie me kangaroo down." You know the words. Come on, Jay. So I was singing that all morning long in anticipation for our guest coming on today. And a big announcement, we are returning with Monday Night Virtual, our virtual signings on our 80s Wrestling Facebook page on Monday, March the 6th, less than 2 weeks away. And it's going to be a doubleheader, Jay. We're going to have Outback Jack joining us along with Raven. So anyone out there, I know a lot of our listeners used to check out our virtual signings all the time. You can head over to 80swrestlingcon.com now and place your orders to get an autographed picture of Outback Jack and Raven. They will sign it for you live on the show on our Facebook page, and we'll ship it out to you following. If you have any action figures of Outback Jack from LJN or Raven for figures or belts, you can ship them in as well. Watch them sign it live, and then we ship it back to you following the virtual signing. So all that information is headed at 80swrestlingcon.com. Once again, it's going to be on Monday, March the 6th, and one of the men that will be joining us on the line right now. One of my favorites growing up as a kid, Jay, and I know yours too, Outback Jack. Welcome to 80s Wrestling, the podcast. How are you today, sir?
G'day there, viewers. This is the one and only Outback Jack. Jumpin' Jay, how are you? And, of course, we've got Tadpole Tommy over there. Wonderful to be here and looking forward to something that's nearly as famous as Monday Night Football. It seems like it's Monday Night Virtual.
That's right. Tommy's Monday Night Virtuals are an impressive thing that allows fans to gain access to superstars like yourself, Outback Jack. It is a thrill this morning to be speaking to you live. Good morning to you. This is a live call-in podcast, and so we've got listeners and fans who call in. We got some waiting on hold already, so if it's okay with you, Outback Jack, we're going to jump into some phone calls where people can interact with you live on this podcast.
Absolutely. Go ahead.
All right. Our first caller is from Chico, California, longtime friend of the show and an avid LJN action figure collector. And you have one of the best, Outback Jack. Up first this morning, Babyface Brian. Good morning to you. You are live with Outback Jack.
Good morning, Jay. Good morning, Tommy. And good morning, Outback Jack. Thanks so much for joining the podcast.
G'day there, Brian. Good to see you. Good to hear from you.
Yeah, I really enjoyed your vignettes and your lead up to coming into the WWF, and then I'm one of the lucky guys that got to see you actually in person a couple times in Sacramento. I went and watched you March 20th, right before WrestleMania 3 against Frenchie Martin, where you picked up a victory, and then again August 27th, 1987, I saw you defeat Tiger Chung Lee. So I'll post a couple pictures from your match with Frenchie Martin on the post for this podcast today. So there's a couple pictures of you from that match. But it was really cool to actually be able to see you. My best friend actually got to see you a couple times and got to get a hand on your back as you went down the rail one time. So you, Hillbilly Jim, and one of the Killer Bees, he got to pat you guys on the back. I was wondering, it seemed like you had a lot of matches with Frenchie Martin. Was he a nice guy to work with in there?
Frenchie Martin was a champion. He was a good bloke. Most importantly, since I was pretty much a rookie, I mean, I didn't know a backside from the heel of my shoe. He helped me, he guided me, and made the matches better for the people. And of course, unfortunately, he had to lose to me, and that is the way of the world. But no, Frenchie was a good man, and I'm sad to see that he passed. I believe it was from stomach cancer or something along those lines, but a good, good man.
And did you cut your teeth with Stu Hart up in Canada before you came to the WWF? How much time did you spend up there, and what was that like?
I spent a couple, 3 months up there. Canada was great. I lived in Calgary and did all the areas. Went up to as far north as Yellowknife and got cold up there. Went to Regina, Saskatchewan, and got blast frozen there. But all over the place. It was great. I worked out at Stu Hart's for a bit, and I also worked with the man of 1,000 holes, Mr. Les Thorne.
Did Stu ever get you down into the dungeon, or were you able to stay away from there?
I managed to stay away from that fight because I just issued one word, and that was no.
Smart man. I've heard terrible things about that place.
Yeah. Yeah. Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, as far as your LJN action figure, I've heard in the past that when it got to the year that your figure was released, which I believe was 1987, that the royalties had been cut tremendously. And I believe you said you only got like 1/4 of 1 cent for every action figure sold. So it was something like one penny every time they sold four of your figures. Am I correct in that?
That's absolutely correct.
That?
Yeah, absolutely correct. Things went a little sideways there, not for any reason. I guess I don't know why. That was probably something they decided in the office, and you know, Vince always had to make money, and as long as Vince is making more money than anybody else, and not just a little, he has to make the bulk of the money. So there you are.
My guess is that those first couple years when they were making the figures, when they saw guys like Hillbilly Jim and Iron Sheik bringing home, you know, $80,000, $100,000 in a year on figures, they said, whoa, we have to figure this out. That's too much money. So they, unfortunately, you guys that got figures later on really got screwed as far as the payouts on that, because I think the first couple years – the guys got big time royalties off of those, and like I say, they adjusted it, and unfortunately, you guys didn't get the benefit. But it is really cool. I think there's only around 63 people in the world that got one of those figures, and your character was creative and established enough, or just something they thought was marketable. So you're one of the very cool guys that actually have.
Yes,
one.
I'm unique in the world. 63 out of one of 63, that's sort of like a limited edition lithograph, isn't it?
Oh, even more so. Yeah, definitely. And do you have one of those figures yourself that you've gotten a hold of over the years, or does Tommy need to find one for you?
I had one. Well, I had one that was special that I gave to my son. Charlie had it with him, and Charlie's favorite game with that was to get in his bath with his boats and his bits and pieces and bobs when he was a kid, and he would dive bomb them with Outback Jack. And Outback Jack would drop the boomerang on a battleship or a cruiser or something like that and sink it to the bottom and sometimes break it in half, because I would not want to get hit in the head with the old LJN Outback Jack dolls. They were fairly solid pieces of wood.
Definitely, definitely. And how special for your son to have an action figure of his dad. I mean, there's not too many kids that get to have something like childhood. So that's very cool.
Yeah, no, it is wonderful. It's a surprise to see them from time to time at some of the autograph shows. And chaps have still got them in the full wrapped package. You know, with the hat and the poster and so on, all still sealed in LJN packaging, and that's kind of wonderful.
Yeah, those are big bucks. When you're at the signing, you'll have to see if Tommy has one of yours opened. other question I was wondering. I think your biggest wins were probably some that you got against the Iron Sheik, but what are your feelings on who your biggest opponent was as far as who you got a victory over?
I had victories over a lot of big names. Sheik, of course, Nikolai Volkov. Bob Orton was one of the better ones. He was such a tremendous wrestler. I worked, and I eventually did lose to Harley Race. I mean, all the big names I worked with, and at some point there, we're all meant to be put over by people, and then we're all meant to put other people over. I mean, you know, that's the way it was. But Sheiky was wonderful to work with, because he'd... At back, Jack, my brother, we scare these proponents. We just run around the ring. We don't touch one another. Follow my lead. Let me sing and do what you want.
That is a wonderful Iron Sheik impression. I didn't know you had that in you. So cool, Jack.
Wait till he hears mine, babyface, Brian.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Tommy, I'll show you his. His is wonderful. I got to ask one other thing. Were there any guys that you traveled with a lot that you really enjoyed spending time with, a company that were your mates on the road for that year and a half in WWF?
Yeah, it was actually a little more than a year and a half. Lanny Poffo, I enjoyed. We would travel together quite a bit, and sadly, Lanny passed away 3 weeks ago, and very sad.
I know.
Completely unexpected.
We all are. He seems like one of the nicest guys in wrestling.
Yeah, he and I stayed friends from 86 until for a week before he passed. I mean, you know, we've been friends for 36 years.
I'm very sorry for your loss.
Yeah, good bloke. I was mates with, oddly enough, Randy Savage too. Good grief, who else? Hercules, the mighty Hercules was a good mate. We shouldn't have, but we traveled together a bit because it just seemed to be we'd be on the same circuit at the, and it was easier to, you know, to rent a car and get to where we had to go. Hercules was a good chap.
I've always heard he was a nice guy.
Yeah, Tito Santana was fabulous. I mean, they were all pretty good. The ones I obviously had the problems with that I did not like at all was the British Bulldogs. They were not nice people, and I think I've made that clear over the years.
Yeah, I wasn't going to bring them up. I know they gave you a hard time, unfortunately, but...
They gave everybody a hard time, but we especially locked heads because, you know, I'm Australian and they were English. And, you know, that's as being as natural born enemies as New York and New Jersey.
Yep. Yep. And the big man, small man thing got in the way too. I'm sure you're not a,
Tommy Billings, that got in the way of everybody. He, you know, he didn't like anybody. Yeah. He had the Napoleon complex, but, we all have egos as big as all outdoors. I mean, otherwise, why would I be doing this at 65 years of age, you know, 30 years after the
Definitely. Are you still living in Australia, or where do you live
no,
now?
No, I live in South Florida, actually. I live in Fort Lauderdale.
Oh, excellent. Excellent. I really appreciate your time on the show. I really appreciate you talking to me. Thank you for making the all of our childhoods more entertaining, and just keep for being a WWF superstar over the years, Jack. Happy birthday somewhat recently. I think you turned 65 a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, February 4th, as a matter of fact, yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
So thank you, Brian. Once again, absolute pleasure speaking with you.
And you as well. I really appreciate it. Thank you so much, Jack. Take care of yourself.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, there we go. First call in the books, and he had a lot of questions, and we thank you for your time, Opak Jack, answering each and every one of them. We're going to take one more caller here before I sneak in some questions of my own. Up next is a friend of the show coming from Tommy's area, New Jersey. We're talking to Toto Tom. Tom, Good morning, brother. You are live with Outback Jack.
It's an honor to be on the show with you, Mr. Jack. I really appreciate this chance to speak with you.
Hey, Tom, good to see you, mate, and very good to talk with you.
I have a unique question I want to ask you, but first I just want to apologize to the caller, the listeners from the last couple of weeks. I have not been around because I've been running the circuit, going to many different press conferences, as you probably don't know. I am a five-star caller, and I have been nominated as the best podcast caller of the year by the Wrestling Observer year-end award. So I've been kind of busy. I am back today, though, and here's my question for you. It's unique. I understand that after professional wrestling, you have been involved with some unique games that occur in Scotland. I was wondering if you could tell me a little bit about what that is that you do.
Yeah, right after wrestling, and actually a little bit prior to that, I participated in the what's called heavy events with Scottish Games. And the basic military Scottish tattoo, as it were, is a collection of varying bands, varying levels of pipes and drums and precision military marching and all other events that go on that are part of the Scottish heritage. And one of the things they do is they have these things called heavy events. And the heavy events are the caber toss, which is the very long pole that you try and flip over and have it land perfectly at 12 o'clock. They have the heavy hammer, which is a 22-pound hammer throw. They have the regular hammer, which is 16 pounds. And these hammers have cane handles as opposed to a wire handle. And you stand with your feet buried in the ground and you twirl the hammer around your head and you throw it as far as you can. They have the weight over the bar, which is a 56-pound half a bushel you throw over a pole vault bar. They have shot put, and they do that with a glide or do a standing shot. I mean, it's all kinds of stuff. I mean, one of the big ones was tossing the sheath, which was a sheath of wheat that go on the end of a pitchfork, and you would, again, throw that over a giant bar as well. And it was all to show, because one of the things with the Highlanders and all the Scottish events was a man's prowess and strength. And that's how they developed some the years.
When was the most recent time you participated in such games?
Oh, good grief. It's probably 20 years, I suppose.
Okay.
The last one, I did an exhibition at over in Florida, Clearwater, I believe it was, or actually wherever Barnum and Bailey had their stuff. And I did it with the world's strongest woman. She was a blonde girl and could tear telephone books in half. I mean, strange woman. But anyway, she did the same sort of thing, and we made fools of ourselves in front of crowds. We would do that stuff from time to time at Renaissance festivals all over the place. Bradenton,
wow.
That's where it was, Bradenton.
Thank you very much for the education. I'm sure Jumping Jim has some other questions to ask you about. You know, Babyface Brian pretty much asked everything that had to be asked, I think. But anyway, thank you very much. Hope to see you at the virtual signing. Go to a Tom out.
I'll virtually
right,
be
Tom,
there.
Thank you for
Thanks,
calling.
Tom.
Well, Outback Jack, I am very curious. When you came over to Canada to begin training with Stu Hart in the mid-80s, what was the pro wrestling scene like in Australia? Had it caught on there, and do you know what it is currently?
Oh, yeah.
Is pro wrestling big there?
It was very big there, yeah. No, always had been since the 50s and 60s. I mean, some of the best wrestlers in the world came from Australia. To the World Tag Team, NWA it was at the time, the Tag Team Championships were the Kangaroos. I think it was Lou Costello and Roy Heffernan.
And so then you came to Canada and then they brought you to the WWF and they pitched your character to you, I read that it was based basically on the popularity of the movie Crocodile Dundee. And so I'm wondering, A, being an Australian, what did you think of that movie? And two, how did they pitch the idea to you?
Well, it was a happy coincidence, for sure. I mean, we sort of made one another. And the one big difference is Crocodile Dundee's 4'6" tall, where I'm obviously 6'5". There was a big difference in that regard. I knew a couple of blokes from the movie. The fellow that played Donk, his name is Steve Rackman, and Donk was a good man and a funny man. And actually, he was one of the leaders through the 70s, 60s, 70s, and early 80s for wrestling in Australia. What's his name? Jim Barnett, who used to be with the WWF, actually had a constant tour going around Australia and Asia back in the 60s and 70s.
It's very, very interesting to me how it all came to be for you. And when they pitched this idea to you, are you excited about it? Do you immediately say, yeah, this is going to work for me?
Well, I didn't really have much choice, but it was nothing that wasn't unfamiliar. I'd worked on a cattle station. I mean, everything about there wasn't much work or depth of character that had to be brought forward. I mean, it was Outback Jack was me. The leather vest and the crocodile hat might have been a little different, but the knife was, you carried a knife, you chase buffalo, and you worked on a cattle station and drank as much beer as you could on the weekend.
Well, one of the most memorable things
you still do that,
about
right, Jack?
Well, I used to be able to. I twist the top off a bottle now, and I fall over half drunk just at the smell.
Hey, real quick, I wanted to ask you, is I know that you started up in Calgary in 1986, and you were pretty much sent directly to WWF at the time. I think it was based off the popularity, correct me if I'm wrong, of Crocodile Dundee. How long were you working before you got on the main roster for WWF? Because it wasn't very long, was it?
No, it was only a couple, 3 months. It was obviously good because I actually saw the Crocodile Dundee movie in Stamford, Connecticut, just down from the office. And it was a hoot of thing. I actually had to leave the theater because the whisper went, hey, that's Outback Jack over there. And of course it disrupts the show. And, I actually had to leave. But it was, obviously it was planned and it was greatly fortuitous to both of us. And, I don't know whether Vince had thought to bring over a Dundee character or not, a Crocodile Dundee character or not, but it just happened to pop up and it went, like the speed of light from there.
One of the most memorable things about your debut was they used to be really good at making vignettes to kind of introduce a character to the fan base. They don't do it as well anymore, but you had some very memorable vignettes leading up to your debut. How fun was it to get to travel and film those things on location? And could you, when you finally debuted, did you feel like the fan base kind of already knew who you were thanks to these vignettes?
Oh, I certainly had three dimensions to me for sure. Where some of the characters, and nothing against any of the characters, but they probably need a little more development, or perhaps were too cartoonish or too Marvel comic type stuff, which is fine. I mean, the business has changed dramatically. The thing with Outback Jack, I mean, everywhere we went up there in the territory I'd lived or been to. I worked at Jim and Mary Rose's property, Janamble, just out of Darwin. That's where I worked. I'd been off in some other places that shall remain nameless and came back and needed to get out of myself for a bit. So I worked on the cattle station and just was a run-of-the-mill farmhand, cowhand, and that's that.
So you mentioned earlier in the show that you got along quite well with Randy Savage and Lanny Poffo, the family there.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering, was Randy Savage as intense of a character behind the scenes as he came across on camera?
Oh, yeah. Look, Randy was Randy, and that's, you know, there was no question that he was the Macho Man. And, you know, when I say we got on well, we would never at one another's throats. There was never a thought of throwing punches at one another or anything like that. There was never a hint of any sort of impropriety with Miss Elizabeth or anything like that. And, you know, he knew that I was just a decent bloke going through the day. You know, and he knew that I respected Elizabeth, and I would do anything to prevent her being harassed by anybody else. You know, it's just a matter of common courtesy, and you know, we were mates. I mean, you didn't go out drinking or anything, because you couldn't be at that point. And Randy didn't go out drinking that much.
Sure, sure. Now back then in '86, '87, he was just starting to really come up the ranks in the WWF. Are you surprised by the level of heights and success that he had in WWF, or did you see
it? Oh, Randy
writing on the wall? Yeah.
No, not at all, not at all. I mean, he was the perfect man for the perfect vehicle. He was the Intercontinental Champion, and at the time, and just it was magic. It was absolute magic, you know. There's
absolutely.
All of us were good characters, you know, and some magic was applied a little more diligently than others. And, you know, I mean, there's things that could have been done with Outback Jack that I would have liked to have seen progress. And a simple one, you know, they had that fella in for a little while called Skinner, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he was an evil, you know, animal person that would just, you know, wanted to hunt animals and all stuff. I mean, the perfect vehicle. I mean, you didn't even have to have a fifth grade education to work out that the perfect two conflict there would be Skinner versus Outback Jack.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, World Wildlife
Sure.
Fund, Outback Jackson, you know, I mean, it wasn't necessarily an animal preservationist or anything like that, but I certainly wasn't cruel or anything like that, which Skinner's character portrayed cruelty to animals. So, I mean, you couldn't have gotten a better conflict.
Absolutely. Real quickly also, Jack, I wanted to ask you, how cool was it for you to see your action figure? And Jay said earlier, the caller said earlier about there only being 60-something of these made for, you know, every wrestler that's ever been alive. So it's a pretty big deal to have an LJN. How cool was it for you if you're at a store or, you know, you're just doing shopping and here you go, you see yourself hanging up on the shelf? It must have been pretty neat for you.
It was, you know, obviously the perfect word that fits in here is surreal. And it was, but it was a hoot to find another brilliant phrase. It just made you laugh, and you knew if you went back to the pub and you had one of those action figures, you would never hear the end of it. They would bust your balls forever. The fellas should drink them. Ah, you're a bloody doll. Look at this. That was always a leveling thing. You kept that in the back of your head. You know, nobody likes a poser, and Australia is well known for the tall poppy syndrome. So,
well, here we are. Like you said, we're 35 years later, past your run in the WWF, but yet you're one of the characters that sticks in the minds of fans. There's a lot of wrestlers that have come and gone that fans kind of forget about. You had a relatively short run there, but you've stuck in the minds of guys like Tommy and myself, guys who love that era of wrestling. I would just love to know, what do you think it was about your character or how you portrayed him that allowed you to connect with the fans on such a deep level?
Oh, that's, mate, that's as easy as pie. I was being me. There was, I didn't have to stretch, to use an acting term, to find depth bring this character to life. Outback Jack is me. Hmm. You know, there's nothing that Outback Jack did in any of the vignettes that I didn't do or hadn't done. I mean, there's obviously deeper and darker things we've all done in our personal lives that, you know, are different and vastly off the beaten path. But what endears me to people, I hope, is the fact that I'm genuine. And that's the most important thing. In a world that can easily be seen as classically put on, or without saying that other nasty word, fake, I wasn't.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
That's a very good explanation.
Absolutely. Jack, before we let you go, I wanted to play a little 80s wrestling name association with you, where I'll bring up someone's name and whether you say a couple words or a couple sentences, the first thing that comes to your mind when I mention that person. Does that sound okay?
Yeah.
All right. We'll start off with, Jay, we can go back and forth if you like. So I'll do one, you do one. We'll go back and forth like that. So I'll do the first one, then he'll answer, then Jay will take over. So first one, Hulk Hogan.
He was an all right bloke, you know. We were half-baked mates, you know, but Hulk was Hulk. And, you know, you always know that the king is in the castle, you know. But that's that.
Well, because I'm a Minnesota boy myself, I'm going to ask about another Minnesota boy, Ravishing Rick Rude.
Rick Rude and I got on well. We would have tough matches, and Rick was a tough boy, very tough man. And we would make sure when we were belting and beating one another around that we belted and beat one another around. Because I thought I worked very well with everybody. I mean, that's my opinion anyway. But I did like to work a little stiff. And then the reason I liked to work a little stiff was because it was easier for me to sell when I was actually physically feeling something, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And you know, I mean, I'm not talking about, you know, putting my nose from one side of my face to the other. I'm not talking that. But, the forearms across the back, the chairs across the back, just sink it in a little bit. It's not necessarily going to hurt me. And Rude had no problem with being just as stiff. I enjoyed another fellow that was stiff that I enjoyed, loved working with, was Iron Mike Sharp.
Mm.
Jack, can you real quickly, because I love to hear stories about Mike Sharp being the last person in the arena every night, even after the janitor. Do you have any funny Iron Mike Sharp stories you can share with us?
Yeah, he was the funny. If you wanted a genuine, guaranteed laugh, all you had to do was watch Mike for about 5 minutes, and you just couldn't help chuckling to yourself and then breaking out into laughter. He had some idiosyncrasies that were, I'm sure, Freud would have had loved to have him on a bench to just question him on. But a champion bloke, you know, a champion bloke. Got me into actually skipping rope. an odd thing, but it was kind of wonderful to warm up with.
Absolutely. And another guy I want to make mention of, since you play the name association game, and I remember he had you as a guest on one of the episodes of the Snake Pit, and that was Jake the Snake Roberts. What's your memories and thoughts on Jake?
Jake the Snake, again, another decent bloke. I mean, nobody's going out to try and screw with one another necessarily, other than, unless, of course, the Bulldogs. There's everybody ribbed everybody and stuff like that to a certain level. But Jake was very much into being Jake, and that's fine. And the biggest mistake I think Vince ever made was when I went into the Snake Pit that time, and he did say to me, he said, "Whatever you do, put over the snake." And I looked at him and I thought, "Are you out of your friggin' mind? I wrestle 16-foot friggin' saltwater crocodiles, and I'm supposed to be worried about an 8-foot python? I mean, I could turn that thing into a belt and a wallet, and I'm supposed to be scared of a snake?" It was illogical. But I did it, and it, you know, always do what the boss tells you to a certain degree, I guess. And it was an okay. There was an okay piff. I think something went wrong there. I think I was somewhere along the way. I got the feeling I was going to be beat in the back of the head by Honky Tonk Man with his guitar. Mm. I just think that was coming up, but it just had never got around to it.
Interesting. Well, as long as we're doing the name association you've been talking about, Vince McMahon, and so maybe the last one, I'd love to know what your impressions or the first thing that come to mind when you hear about Vince McMahon.
I'm not terribly flattering of him. I gave me a start, gave me an opportunity, all those wonderful things. Yes, yes, rah, rah, sis, boom, bah. But the fact of the matter is, basically an evil narcissist. And, you know, you can't be a billionaire without pushing a few people off the cliff. That's the way it goes. I mean, there's no other way around that, no matter who you are. And, you know, there's no thought that the WWF, WWE at the time was a benevolent dictatorship. It was just a straightforward dictatorship.
Well, one person I will not be pushing off the mountain, Jumpin' Jay, is Outback Jack, because we are looking forward to having him in a few sure weeks on Monday, March the 6th, the return of Monday Night Virtual, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, live on our 80s Wrestling Facebook page. We'll be sure to put the link up on our website. So anyone out there, again, that would like to order any autographed pictures of Outback Jack, no matter where you live in the world, you can order a photo and then tune in live. Watch him sign it. He'll give you a shout-out, say hello to you, and then we'll ship it out to you following the signing. Anyone, again, that has any WWF LJN figures that would like to get signed by Jack, you can head over again to 80swrestlingcon.com and place an order and ship them out to us. Jack, we're looking forward to having you on March the 6th. Anything else you'd like to say to the fans out there before we let you go?
Yeah, I'm excited about this March 6th deal. Also, it's going to be exciting to meet Raven. I mean, good grief. How much fun is that?
You guys never met before, right?
No, not at all.
Oh, that's great. Well, yeah, we'll be having a Monday Night Virtual doubleheader, Raven and Outback Jack, again Monday, March the 6th, 7 p.m. Jack, thank you so much. We'll see you soon.
No worries. I'll be there with bells on, mate. Thanks, Tony.
All right, please.
Thanks, Jumpin' Jay.
Send your love.
Thank you, sir.
Send your love to your wife, man. She's over big here at the Wrestling Collector in New Jersey.
Oh, yeah, Christina, yeah, she's fabulous. She is.
Well,
I mean, I couldn't get around
day.
Without her. I mean,
too,
I,
right?
at this point, I'm a big, fat, one-legged old blind man, and fortunately, she leads me everywhere. One of these days, she's going to push me off a cliff, perhaps. Insurance money, you know. The biggest goal I have in life is to be a 48 hours episode.
Jack, just do me a favor. Don't get on your wife's bad side between now and March the 6th, okay?
If she turns up by herself, you know she's bumped me off along the way.
Yeah, that's funny.
Well, Jack, thank you so much for your time, and we'll see you soon, okay?
Okay, chaps.
All right, thank you,
Brian. All right, have a great day.
Bye-bye.
What an awesome guest.
And there
time.
You have it. Legendary figure in the wrestling business, Outback Jack. And that was a lot of fun. I remember vividly as a child seeing him perform many times at the Brendan Byrne Arena in East Rutherford, New Jersey. I was a big fan of that song. I still sing it once in a while. I know you do too, Jay. Very, very down to earth. Very, very friendly.
That was a lot of fun. He was a fantastic guest on the podcast. I can't wait until he's sitting down at Monday Night Virtual because of the stories he could tell, and just he's such a genuine, humble individual that it's a pleasure. And then who doesn't love an Australian accent? He's just fun to listen to.
Absolutely, man. So, yeah, let's run down the results from this past Friday night's ISPW show. It was St. Valentine's Vengeance. And I'm not sure if you read the results there or not, but we had a new ISPW World Heavyweight Champion. Tommy Dreamer captured the title, defeating Bull James. But let me give you the backstory on what happened, because that wasn't the final result at the end of the night. So what happened was they were having their match. There was a referee bump during the match. Bull had Tommy Pinn, nobody there. Maven goes to get involved, but Danny Morrison, who was in Tommy Dreamer's corner, helps him, helps Tommy keep Maven away. Danny comes in the ring, grabs the kendo stick, wails Bull James with it. Bull turns around to a DDT by Tommy Dreamer. No referee because the referee's still down. Earl Hebner, who was there at the show doing a special meet and greet, was called out by Dreamer. Earl comes out, 1, 2, 3, new ISW champion announced, Tommy Dreamer, given the title, goes back to the locker room, starts celebrating with the guys in the back, and Maven gets on the mic and says, no, 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 no. It says in the ISPW rule book that the legal referee in the match must count to three for a title change in the company. And the title, and then when the previous referee, Pat Savino, got up, he did confirm that is the case, and Bull was given back his ISPW heavyweight title. But that crowd went nuts when they thought Dreamer had the belt.
Listen, not only did the crowd go nuts, but I was following it on social media, and social media blew up. They couldn't believe, one, that Tommy Dreamer was holding up the ISPW championship, but that, two, Hebner was the one that came in and slid under the ropes and made the final three count. You had the internet abuzz after that show, Tommy.
That's what I like to hear, man. So Dreamer will actually be back. We're having our next show is on March 11th. It's a Saturday, and it's going to be at Westwood Regional High School in the township of Washington, New Jersey. Dreamer will be going one-on-one with the King of Rock, Rick Recon, with Dave LaGreca in his corner, and Danny Morrison will be the special guest referee for that match. Now, we just said Rick Recon. I want to stick on him real quick because him and Crowbar absolutely tore the house down at this past Friday's ISPW show. And it's funny because I vividly remember Devin Storm against Sabu when Crowbar was Devin Storm. His first match against Sabu, which pretty much put him on the map. It didn't pretty much. It did put Devin Storm on the map and made him a name. And I look at this match very similar to that one because at the time before Devin Storm wrestled Sabu, he was starting to get a little bit buzz going, still green. And I don't mean that in a bad way, comparing that to Recon, because when he gets more reps in and starts working on a more regular basis, you'll understand what I'm saying. But I feel as though he was pretty much at the same spot Devin Storm was going into that match against Sabu. And I also think that while everything wasn't perfect in that match from this past Friday, if you heard the crowd reaction, man, they absolutely were so into it. They were chanting five-star match, fight forever. They were chanting everything. So I think at the end result, it showed everyone that Rick Recon can hang with Crowbar. Now, I want to say it shows everyone how unbelievable Crowbar is, but everyone already knows how unbelievable he is. He is tearing it up lately, man. This is three shows in a row now where I've seen him absolutely steal the entire show. And he's going to be 49 in a week. So that's just, that goes to show you like how hard he's working right now. But I think that that match really helped put Recon on the map as far as the independent name goes in this area. And he got such a good feedback from the audience and on the social media that we're doing a rematch at our next ISPW Totowa show at the ISPW Arena at the Totowa PAL on Friday night, March the 24th. Originally, it was going to be Crowbar against Recon at the next show at that building in Avenel that we just ran this past Friday on April the 28th. It's going to be a no-holds-barred match with those two guys down there. But the fans up this way didn't want to wait to see that match, so we're going to give it to them up here too. So they'll have a rematch on March the 24th. Again, at the Totowa PAL. So, yeah, man, it was a really good show this past Friday. I said Dreamer and Bull and Tommy and – I mean, not Tommy, Recon and Crowbar. And then we had a women's – a street fight match with the new champion, Tina San Antonio, against Vicious Vicky. Maven came out at the end, distracted Vicky, leading to Tina picking up the win. Maven is now officially Tina's manager, and Tina's the women's champion, and Bull obviously is the heavyweight champion, so he's now to be referred to as the manager of champions, Maven. So, and they just announced last night we're doing a big match between Tina and Vicky at that March 24th show in the Total with PAL. They're going to go one-on-one, Jay, check this out, in a blindfold match.
Whoa, reminiscence of a little Jake the Snake and Rick the Model Martel action, a little blindfold action, huh?
Oh, yeah, a little blindfold action. So that'll be for the women's title on March the 24th. And again, I said earlier, March 11th at Westwood Regional High School in New Jersey. And like I said, it's going to be Dreamer against Recon. It's also going to be Crowbar against Appa Jr. That should be really good. And I just found out yesterday, I announced it on our ISPW socials, that former WWF Intercontinental Champion Ahmed Johnson will be making a very rare, super rare appearance at this show, along with former WCW star Ernest the Cat Miller. So Ahmed Johnson and Ernest Miller are coming to ISPW on Saturday, March the 11th.
That is very, very cool. I am racking my brain. I don't know the last time I've seen Ahmed Johnson appear anywhere. That's fantastic get for you, Tommy.
Yes, sir. And then, like I said, we're working on so many live events right now. Last week has been crazy with inquiries about doing ISW shows as fundraisers for different groups and organizations throughout the New Jersey area, and we're taking more on. So anyone that might live in the New Jersey area, if you have a fire department you're a part of or a school PTO or PTA or your church, or if your kids are on a baseball team or football team, any youth sport, we can bring ISW to your town and help raise money for your organization. For more information on that, you can head over to ispwwrestling.com. It's our Slam Raiser program. And we're going to be adding a lot more dates on the website in the upcoming week or so. So definitely check back the site for all the updated dates that we'll be doing. And yeah, man, it's all leading towards May the 6th, 80s Wrestling Con at the Menin Sports Arena, Morristown, New Jersey, 11 a.m. start. It's going to be followed by a live ISPW rock and wrestling show. And there's a lot of big names on that. We're talking about ISPW. Carlito against Val Venus will be on that show. Eugene against Fandango, the Powers of Pain, the Warlord and the Barbarian are going to come out of retirement to team up and take on The Now, who is one of the top unsigned tag teams in the business right now. So much action, so many matches. All that information is available on 80swrestlingcon.com. How many names we got now? We got to be getting close to 40 names now. We got so many talents coming in. I'm excited, man.
My question for you today was going to be, is this the largest convention you've ever put on as far as talent that's arriving? Like, it's getting to be insane. Like you said, you got to be close to 40 superstars attending this one convention.
Yeah, it might go down being the biggest one yet. Knock on wood, hopefully. Headlined by, obviously, WWE Hall of Famer, multi-time world champion, Bret the Hitman Hart. We're going to have the Powers of Pain and Demolition doing a reunion photo op. So as a fan, how cool is it going to be at 80s Wrestling Con? You can take your picture with Demolition and the Powers of Pain together, all with their paint on. That's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity photo. Also, Magnum TA and Nikita Koloff. We're doing a Feud of the 80s photo op with those two, which is going to be really cool. Anyone that's an old-school NWA fan now has an opportunity to get in the middle of Nikita Koloff and Magnum TA. And talking about unique and rare, you will have the opportunity to get a photo of yourself with a WrestleMania 1 title match. That's right. Wendi Richter will be there with Leilani Kai. and we will have the old WWF women's title from back then. Ooh. And we're going to do a photo op where they're tugging on the belt with you in the middle. It's going to be super cool, man. A lot of unique and different experiences and activities. We're going to be doing an 80s wrestling con. We're on the road to 80s wrestling con, and we'll be talking about it much, much, much more in the upcoming weeks and months here. Tickets are available now at 80swrestlingcon.com. Once again, that's 80swrestlingcon.com. Tons of activities while you're there. You can paint a picture, draw a picture with Mr. USA Tony Atlas. The Killer Bees will be in the house. B. Brian Blair and Jumpin' Jim Brunzel, the original Midnight Express, the Beverly Brothers. I mean, the list of talent goes on and on for this. Dory Funk Jr., NWA World Heavyweight Champion. Speaking of NWA World Heavyweight Champions, how about Tommy Wildfire Rich will also be there, along with Papa Shango, Skinner, and many, many more. Again, head over to 80swrestlingcon.com for all the updated information. And yeah, Jad, I don't know. I would say if you were asking if this was the final list of talent that's going to be there, the only thing I could probably say is as of right now, yes. I wouldn't be surprised if someone else or a few more will be at it between now and May the 6th. But, yeah, man, it's going to be a celebration of 80s wrestling. I already see orders coming in from all over the world. People are coming in from different countries and states to be a part of 80s Wrestling Con. Again, it's at the Men in Sports Arena, Saturday, May the 6th, 11 a.m. bell time, 11 a.m. doors open, followed immediately by 80s Wrestling Con. The kids of 80s Wrestling will also be at 80s Wrestling Con. We'll talk more about that in the upcoming weeks as well. There will be a special Q&A where you can have the opportunity to ask questions to the children that grew up, our heroes, as their parents. So it's going to be a really fun and unique experience. The whole day will be.
Yeah, it's insane, man. When you sit here for the last, you know, 2-3 minutes and you hear about all the ISPW shows that you're booking, the preparation that goes into 80s Wrestling Con for the biggest convention to hit the East Coast in a very long time. You're bringing back Monday night virtual signings. You run a business, all that, and you still found time to write the ISPW rulebook. Tommy, I don't know how you fit it all in, brother. You cannot be sleeping.
Brother, I'm not sleeping, man. I'm not sleeping. I'm balls to the wall, baby.
Did you have that rule book written ahead of time, or was that something you had to pen leading up to the big match?
Listen, man, let's talk off the air about this. I don't want to give away.
That's step one. That's step one when creating an independent wrestling federation. Step one, you need the rule book.
Yeah, let's talk off the air about this one, man. I don't want to give away my tricks of the trade and exactly when I sit down to narrate this rule book, but I'll tell you off the air, man.
Hey, and I will tell you this, in all seriousness, the picture of Tommy Dreamer holding the ISPW championship, that belt looks absolutely gorgeous, man.
Oh, thank you, man. Yeah, we got new belts a couple of shows back. The women's title is really, really cool looking too. It looks like the old WWF title that Wendy Richter had, so something similar to that back in the 80s. And then the Tri-State title is really nice too. Yeah, man. If you look on our Facebook, Instagram or Twitter, we posted the picture of Tommy winning the title. The title is actually designed off of the title that Andre the Giant got when Andre the Giant won that WWF title briefly. So look at the design on that and the ISPW's social media of Tommy holding that belt. You'll see that. We also posted a video from that event as well, so you can actually see a video of Tommy winning the title with Earl Hebner coming out. And, again, if you're not following ISPW yet on social media, on Facebook it is ISPW Wrestling. On Twitter it is ISPW Wrestling. And on Instagram it is ISPW Wrestling. And stay up to date for all our upcoming events. Working on some YouTube stuff as well. Hopefully in the next month or so we're going to get that up. So a lot of things on the horizon for ISPW, Jumpin' Jay. And gotta win and juggle it all, like you said, man. I got the store. I got 80s Wrestling out coming up. It's a lot, brother. And a Thursday date with you every 10 a.m. Eastern time here in the state of New Jersey. I look forward to it immensely.
That's right, man. And today was a great one. Thank you for scheduling Outback Jack. What an amazing guest. And I am looking so forward to Monday Night Virtual returning so I can hear more from him and from Raven. What a huge doubleheader to kick back off the return of Monday Night Virtual.
Absolutely, man. Again, you can head over to 80swrestlingcon.com, 80swrestlingcon.com. You can purchase your photos now for Outback Jack and Raven for the return of Monday Night Virtual, plus all the ticket information for 80s Wrestling Con, the show afterwards, ISW Rock and Wrestling, and more. Again, 80swrestlingcon.com. Jumpin' Jay, next week we have another big episode of 80s Wrestling the Podcast, because I already have next week's guest confirmed. And you might know him. Absolutely know him, because he is one of, if not the famous referee in the history of professional wrestling. Earl Hettner will join us next week right here on 80s Wrestling the Podcast.
That is huge. That is a huge announcement, and he is probably the greatest referee of all time. Between then and now and then, I just have to figure out, was he the evil twin or the good twin? I'll figure it out. But either way, I'm excited to have Earl Hettner live next week.
Absolutely, man. And we'll be talking more 80s Wrestling Con next week as well. Jumpin' Jay, I know it's snowing in Minnesota there. How many inches you guys got down there so far?
Dude, I don't know the total, but we are in the middle of a snowstorm. My kids have not gone to school all week. School's been canceled. I've been out doing snow blowing the driveway once already this morning. Got to get back out there. I'll help some of the neighbors out. We are covered in the white stuff this morning.
The good news is, and anyone that hasn't met Jumpin' Jay yet, you'll have the opportunity to at 80s Wrestling Con. It could probably snow for days down there. And you'll be okay, because you are the world's tallest man in the state of Minnesota. So I think that you're going to be okay. The little ones, keep them inside, though.
That's right. That's good advice. Keep the little ones inside.
Hey, and I heard this. Check this out, Jumpin' Jay. I forgot to mention it when Babyface Brian was on the air. Hopefully he's still listening. Babyface Brian is coming to 80s Wrestling Con. He booked his flights. So we're happy that he's coming. And not only that, Jay. But he found out about our little get together at the store on the day before 80s Wrestling Con Eve. So on that Thursday, he's going to join us here at the Wrestling Collector Store so he can meet you, Jumpin' Jay. So we're going to have to get Danny from Butler, if you're listening, and anyone else out there. Maybe we'll wind up having a little lunch that day, a little 80s Wrestling the Podcast family lunch. How's that sound?
That'd be a party, man. I am excited that he's coming down. I'm excited to meet everybody, to see the put the faces with the voices that we hear each and every Thursday. That's going to be a highlight of the trip, man, just meeting these people.
Absolutely, man. Listen, in the menu, whatever you want. Listen, I have places for everything. You want a good pizza, I got a place for a good pizza. If you're in the mood for Chinese, I know a great Chinese place. If you're in mood for pepper steak, man, I know a broad that can make tremendous pepper steak. So whatever you want, man, you let me know, and we'll get everything on the menu for you for that day. But listen, man, I hope you and your family have a great weekend. I hope everyone out there has a great weekend, and we will catch you back next Thursday with Earl Hettner right here on 80s Wrestling, the Podcast.
There's an old Australian stockman lying, dying. And he gets himself up onto one elbow and he turns to his mates who are gathered round and he says, "Watch me wallabies feed, mate. Watch me wallabies feed. They're a dangerous breed, mate. So watch me wallabies feed all together now. Tiny kangaroo down, sport. Tiny kangaroo down. Tiny kangaroo down, sport. Tiny kangaroo down."